Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. Great pleasure to welcome our guest on today, and I'm really interested to chat a little bit about nutrition strategy and thinking about what he does, particularly when it comes to Ironman. But it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Daniel Plews on. Dan, welcome. Thanks for joining us once again.
Yeah, thank you.
Dan, you mentioned in our first chat a little bit about nutrition and just the difference following a low-carb, high-fat diet has made to you personally. It's been a bit of a game changer for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely has. And I think I said in one of our previous chats is that if I could have my time again and I was in my early 20s, I'd definitely be focusing on that type of diet. And I really do think it makes a big difference in terms of performance and very much so in recovery.
What have been some of the biggest changes you've made from a dietary perspective moving across that way?
I guess it's just, it's on and off the bike. I introduced a lot more whole foods. And I watched that. I don't know if you've ever seen the film that's the Sugar film, I think it's called.
Yep.
And then the very first scene in that, he had just right cereal and low-fat yogurt. And that was the very breakfast that I would have every single morning as a young athlete. And mostly because I was in the EIS and the nutritionist there said it was a good thing to do. And I thought I was doing the best thing possible. But in reality, it was a terrible thing to do. I was always hungry and my weight would go up and down quite a lot. Whereas now I just... I'm much more stable. I feel like I'm much more energetic in the day. I don't have slumps, and I recover a lot better from the training that I'm doing, especially when I'm under a high workload as well. I find I can cope with training and work at the same time much more effectively.
One of the things that I see people struggling with when they do sort of start making the switch over is fueling during the race. On a sort of high fat diet. What sort of stuff would you typically and let's talk Ironman, because I think it's one thing to go out and do a 2 hour ride or an hour and a half run. That's pretty simple. But when you start looking at long events like an Ironman, that's when people really they just have absolutely no clue about how to fuel for those things. What's your sort of thinking and advice to someone who's considering making that switch, but they're worried about what they should be putting in their bottles and what they should be eating and that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I guess this is where I probably differ from a lot of conventional thinking in that, for me, nutrition it's not about you have one nutrition, you eat one way and you eat that way all the time. Nutrition is about three things. It's about nutrition for health, nutrition for training and specifically training adaptation, and then nutrition for performance. And there's no way that one diet fits all three. So for when it comes to performance, you get as much carbing as you could almost tolerate or as much as you need, because then I don't think that high and high fat diet is better for performance on a race day. I really think that having carbohydrate during the races and even just a little bit before is a beneficial thing. But for training and health, to be chronically on a high fat diet is much more beneficial, because you adapt better to training, you recover better from the training, and you also maintain lower blood glucose levels, lower blood insulin levels, and you're actually a much healthier person. So when I do exercise, when I do Ironman triathlon and I'm racing, I'll be taking 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour, and that will be in the form of gels and all the things that a normal person would eat.
It's interesting. I remember reading something somewhere, and I can't remember who it was. I was just thinking, were they talking about sort of eat low and race high when it comes to carbohydrates? And that's pretty much what you're talking about is yeah. Sort of keep it balanced normally, but then it's almost like throwing gasoline on a fire during race day.
Yeah, and people, I mean, lots of the nutrition people will say, oh, it's bad for your stomach, and you might get an upset stomach if you're not used to the carbohydrates. But I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that. I think, our bodies know what to do with a macronutrient called carbohydrates. It's not stupid. that train low, race high strategy, it is out there. But what if you look at the research and the literature, it's actually the opposite way around. It's more that you are chronically on a high carb diet and you restrict carbohydrates now and again for specific sessions, whereas I would be more of the opposite, is that you're chronically on a low carb diet and you introduce carbohydrates for maybe races or a specific session that you want to have, you want to do well at, or you want to hit a target on. So it's kind of a bit of a different way of thinking about it.
Doc, there's been lots of talk, and I'm not sure if it's like this in New Zealand, but particularly here in South Africa, there's been a lot of controversy around the low-carb, high-fat diet, I think particularly around a guy like Professor Tim Noakes. Well, what's... I mean, obviously, you can read sort of scientific papers from both sides of the fence, and everyone sort of cites an argument that they feel is the be-all and end-all, but there is a lot of... I mean, a lot of confusion around it. Your thoughts? I mean, it's from a scientific point of view, what's your opinion on it?
I mean... Yeah, I know, but the thing is with the literature is it's all, you know, but I know Louise Burkers has published a study that was done in distance runners, but, you know, it was done for 3 weeks. And one of the things that I know with this diet is that you have to be on it chronically for quite a long time before you really start seeing the reaping the rewards. I've been doing this since pretty much 2012, and I'm still, you know, I think it was really last year or the year before that I really started to see, you know, start to get the real benefits, and I could actually, it wouldn't affect me. I would have no negative side effects. Even my high intensity stuff had returned to pretty much what it was before. So yeah, I understand the argument for guys doing really high intensity. Of course, having a high carbohydrate oxidation, the ability to oxidize carbohydrates is more important than having a high fat oxidation. But for age groupers especially, and for people doing Ironman, I don't see how having a superior fat oxidation can be a negative thing. You know, if your Ironman race pace is at, say, on the bike, it's at 280 watts, and at 280 watts, you've got 50% of your energy coming from fat rather than, say, 30% of your energy coming from fat. I know which one I would rather take. So having that metabolic flexibility to only burn carbohydrate when you really need to, I think it's very hard to argue against.
Mm. I know a lot of people are interested in this sort of lifestyle and way of eating. If you could sort of point someone in the direction to pick up some literature or something to read or something to listen to, what would you suggest? Who should people be following and checking out if they want to find out more about sort of racing on a low-carb, high-fat diet?
Well, you can. More than me and my colleague, a guy called Professor Paul Lawson. He's a good friend of mine, a colleague. We'll be more than happy. You know, you can find us both on Twitter, and we'll be more than happy to answer questions via email. We're really happy to spread the word and help people out. Also, a real good go-to book is a new book that's just come out by Professor Grant Schofield, who's a professor at the Auckland University of Technology, which is where I did my PhD, and I'm also an associate. They've just brought out a book that's called What the Fat Performance, and it's a high-fat, low-carb book specifically designed for athletes. So, I definitely encourage people to look at that. That's probably one of the first books out there that's really designed for athletes. It's quite holistic. I know Jeff Folek had the Art and Science of Low-Carb Performance, which was also kind of aimed at the athlete a bit more, but he's quite severe and he's quite ketogenic in some of his beliefs, and that can be, I think it's a little bit, it's quite hard for a lot of people to follow. So yeah, this What the Fat Performance book is kind of more holistic, and I definitely encourage people to pick it up and have a read.
Awesome. We'll put the links to those in the show notes of this episode as well. Doc, thank you so much for your time. Safe travels. Enjoy Kona 2016, and let's hope it's a good one for you and your athletes. And we look forward to following your progress and the return, the comeback in 2018 for you personally.
Great. Thanks, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Nutrition is key to put in world-class performances. Register now for our upcoming free online nutrition seminar on thekonaedge.com/nutritionseminar.